download chapter 4 examples. I think there's 4 examples. And then next Tuesday, we'll actually go and look at some under .NET, because there's a few examples that I wrote for the .NET version that I want to go over. So we won't move to chapter 5 quite yet. Because week 2, chapter 4 is keeping you busy reading, if you're reading. Okay, we have an extra person. I am attempting to take attendance just because we have the school being much stricter about attendance, and if people don't send me an email, at least if I get your name in class, then that's backup. But for you at home, send me an email once a week. I need you to do that. Okay, the first one I'm going to open is Project Intro If. Okay, so this one, I've just got a gazillion different if statements on it. Just to look at the syntax. Three fields, text first, text second, text third. So when you see me talk about down here, text first, text second, text third, those are the ones I'm naming. Okay? I got lazy and I didn't give every one of them a name, I just called them input. And I've got text first, text second, text third, and the result is text is here. This one is called text result. Okay? So those are just to let me have some data to play with as I'm doing this. Okay, so the first one, if I look at it, it says button check CI click. So that's what I'm going to do first. And it is going to check the box called text first for CI. So I'm putting CI in there. Okay, so if I look at the code, then I can test and see if it's working correctly. Okay, so it wanted CI, and I'm clicking on check CI, and it is coming up and telling me CI major. And notice that I've set the background color and the foreground color inside the code. I can obviously set these on the properties, then I'm setting them for the beginning. But here I'm saying if it's equal CI, then the background color should be antique white and the foreground color should be red. Okay, so I have got those there. Here's your...
Thank you, that's what I... Sorry, it's real. Appreciate it.
Okay. So CI major. If I make this BU and click it, then it says not a CI major. The background is beige and the color is brown. Okay, so I am setting that up in a different way, and I'm including the color as part of my setup. Okay, so that's one more thing that you can do if you think you want to call attention to something on the form. When you fill it, you can change the color, and that kind of calls attention to things. Okay? Okay, now notice when I hit clear, I will clear all of those. And when I cleared result, I set the color to white and the fore color to black, so that I put it back to the colors that I originally wanted. So I set the fore color to background color to white and the foreground color to black when I cleared the thing out. Okay. The next one has two things, and interesting that we hit if statements in the PHP class and Visual Basic on the same day. So if you're so sick of if statements, sorry about that. But essentially, I've got a simple and relationship going on there. And I said, if it's CI, then. And notice the then. The nice thing about this version of Visual Basic is if you don't type the then, it will put it in for you. Because I cannot tell you how many times thens I had to go back and put in thens in previous versions of VB. Because I keep forgetting about the then. But essentially I've got if text first.text equals CI, then, and then if text second.text is greater than 3.5, then, and I have end ifs associated with both of those. This one doesn't use any else. When I want to make a compound, I can make a compound by putting in the and. So I can turn that into a compound when I put in the and. Okay? So if I come up here and make this a CI and make this a 4 and click on check and, it comes back and tells me that it's honest. And I commented out the compound, but that's how I would have written the compound. Okay. So the compound is using and. Hello. We are looking at chapter 4 examples, and the one I'm looking at is project intro if. Okay, so download the chapter 4 examples. Okay, so the next one going down has the else's on that. So I just put in else statements. So again, the connection, like in other languages, the end if connects and the else connects, and the else and the end if connect to the first available if. And that connects to the next if. So the first else connects itself to the first available if, and an if can only have one else, and so the next if, the next else rather connects to the top if. Okay? So going back, it connects to the first available. And again, this can be written with the compound. So it shows the compound writing of it. And this one, this and, the button and different else, is again looking for the same thing, but could this one be turned into a compound? Where have you heard that question before? Can that be turned into a compound? No, because
the statements are different as they create.
Right. Okay. If it's not CI, I want to print not a CI student. If the second is not greater than 3.5, I want to print not on his GPA. So I'm printing different messages depending on which one I get a no to. And so that cannot be made a compound, because when I came to the else, which one would I put in? You know, if I say if text first dot text equals CI and text second dot text greater than 3.5, then I can go on just fine and say text result dot text equals on a CI, and I hit the else and it's whoops, which one do I put in? I've got two messages there. The only way I can figure out which message would be to ask another question. So I'd have to have an else to ask another question. Well, yeah, I could do that, but it's not a good thing. So there's on a CI. If I change this down to a 3 and click it, then I say not on his GPA. And if I change this to BU, then it's not a CI student. Okay. And the way the logic works is if it's not CI, it drops immediately to that else and doesn't look at the stuff in between. So it never asks the question about the second box. It goes directly to the else. Okay. Then the OR one is down below, and that is following my OR. Okay. So it's saying if it's CI, then put out OK. Else, you got a second chance. If it's greater than 3.5, then put out OK. And then I ended both the ifs. So there's no else's associated with this one. I am ending both the ifs. Oh, actually, I'm sorry, there is one else. There's no else associated with the inner one. Okay. So on this one, if I put in what I've got there and check the OR, it says not, wait a minute, check the OR. Or else, I guess that is. No, wait a minute. Button OR. I gotta figure out which one is which. Because, oh, actually, that was my stupidity. Okay. I was left over from testing something else. I left that in there. I left something in there. And in fact, so I need to delete that. Because when I run the OR, it puts nothing in. Okay, so I had stuff left over. You should clear things out, but you also wouldn't have 5,000 different examples of if statements in there. So, since I was not CI, so it took the else, it's not greater than 3.5, so it dropped out. And it didn't clear out the message I had left over from the last if statement. Okay? There was a message left over from the last if statement that I tested, whichever one I was clicking away at up here. So basically, this is saying BU3, no results. Okay? If I change it to BU4, then it gives me the okay. And if I changed it to CI, it would also give me the okay. This one has to be one or the other. Okay, so when you're looking at my notes, if you ever do, the one that's highlighted is the one that I'm obviously looking at. Okay. So again, if you come down here, this time I added in the not either. And so if I click on this one, it still will say okay. But if I change this back to 3, actually, and then click on the check or else, it says not either. And that one, okay, that one can be made a compound because I can combine them and say if either of them is true, then I want to print out okay, else I want to print out a different message. And I just said neither. Mm-hmm. Remember the... Let me make sure I took a picture of that. Remember the basics. An and is I ask the first question, and if it's a yes, I ask the second question, and if it's a yes, then I do something. If it's a no, I can do something. And if it's a no up here, I can do something depending on what I set up. But this one is caused by an else. And this one is caused by an else. So if I don't have else's in there, then I'm not doing anything. And an or is I ask a decision, and if it's yes, I do whatever. If it's a no, I have a second chance. So I'm asking my second chance. And this is when I run out of chances. So I ask the first condition, and if it's yes, I do something. If it's no, I ask the second condition, and if it's yes, I do something. And if I have an else in there, then I tell it what to do if neither of them are true. So I deal with the no. Okay? So the ands and the ors go together that way. Okay? So this one is the else. Thank you. You've all had 120, right? Or another programming language or something, right? Have you had 120? Did you have CIS 120?
Yes.
Okay.
122, sorry.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Is that hybrid classroom?
No, I wanted to know about CIS 120, if you had taken that. You would have either taken it with me or Dennis. One what?
122, I think.
That says 156 with me. 132?
CIS 122.
122, okay. Yeah, right, right. I knew that. It's 122. Okay, does this make the ands and ors make sense? Because 120 covers that a lot. And I don't know whether that makes sense. Is that making sense to you?
Not a lot.
Not a lot, okay. That's what I wanted, was honest. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to go back for a minute and look at the ands and ors, because it suddenly dawned on me that I think everybody else in here has had that. Okay. So just quickly looking at it, this one here is, I've got two things that have to be true. And so actually I've got CI and 3.5. And is greater than 3.5, whatever it is. So both of those have to be true. And that's an and relationship. Okay. And actually, you and I should talk after class and figure out whether 120, if this isn't making sense, find out how much sense it's making. Because a lot of people take the 120 first. And it, I think, makes life easier.
That's what I was just explaining to a few kids in my last class, because they were saying they was doing other HTML classes and stuff like that, and they don't know where you was coming from, and I was like, dude, you took the wrong class. You should have took 120 first, because it's an introduction, pretty much.
And that's what I think a lot of people feel. So we should talk about whether you are comfortable here or whether you should flip into 120 and then take this afterward. And it all depends on,
maybe
it might be better, yes. In which case, if you're free around this afternoon sometime, I can kind of go through with you a little of what I've done already in 120. Okay, are you free at 2 or any time?
No, I have class 2 to 4.
Okay, let's talk right after class and figure out the time, okay? So that's an and relationship and an or relationship, and we're going to kind of figure that out, is that I ask the question here, and if I get a no, then I get a second chance. And that's kind of the difference between an and an or. But as I said, let's talk after class and figure out where you should be. Okay. Where was I? Or else. Okay, where did I stop, folks? This one. Okay, this is the one. Come on, you can stop now.
Something is not right over here.
I have a question. When you do this, I was looking on the webpage. Does it just do the audios, or do you do the pictures too?
It's there on the smart board, but they're separate. They're separate. Will somebody show them where it is that's sitting next to him?
Yeah, he's got it. Those are all the...
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I was looking under just audio. Yeah.
No, they're separate. Mainly because a lot of people I have found don't want the audio, they want the notes. If they're in class, or they may want the audio, but not the whole thing. They just want what I said in one place. So that's why I keep them separate, because if you put them together, then you got to listen to the whole thing. But the downside of that is you got to try to figure out when I flip to the next screen. And sometimes that's easier said than done. Okay, so if I come up on this one here, which is button A and B or C, and this is the one we ran into problems this morning in the PHP with a few people having problems with it. This one is basically saying that CI has to be true. The major has to be CI. And then I'm checking to see if second is greater than 3.5. And if the answer is yes, then it meets the criteria. But if it's not, I have an else on this that says, okay, here's another chance. And the other chance is the third one greater than 30. And if it is, then it has the meets criteria. And then I can close this up, close the second one up, and close the top one up. Okay, so I've got them closed up like that. So this one has, and actually I was talking about this particular logic in the 120 class today. So, as I said, let's talk. This one up here has to be true. If it's not true, then it takes the no and does nothing. If it's true, then I check the next thing. If this one is true, then terrific. If not, here's a second chance. And if the second chance is true, terrific. Otherwise, I do nothing. And there is the compound. Okay? So I've got the compound coded in there. And the compound is saying, if text first equals CI, and either of these. That parenthesis is like saying the word either. And we talked this morning about that in the other class. What would happen if I take the parenthesis out?
It would just become the first two statements have to be true or the third statement.
That's right. Because the order of operations is ands get resolved before ors. Okay, the order of operations. Ands get resolved before ors. Okay, so ands. Ands are resolved before ors. But anyway, we got the general idea there. And parentheses can change the order. Parentheses can change the order. So by putting the parentheses get resolved first. When you put parentheses in, parentheses get resolved first. So this basically says now it's got to be CI and either of these. CI and either of those. And that's how it ends up resolving. Okay. If I take the parenthesis out, then it becomes CI and text second dot text greater than 3.5, or just text third dot text greater than 30. Okay? Is everybody comfortable with that? And the one below it, I added in the last else, so I have something if it's not CI. Okay, so on this one again, I started out and I've got an if and then another if. So if the first if is true, it does the second if. Finally, I get down to the inner part. Those go together. These go together. And those go together. Okay, so those are how the ifs are set up. And Visual Basic is very nice to you because it indents stuff for you. In PHP this morning, I said, this is one place I really believe in indenting. Because the if statements just don't work right if you don't. Well, Visual Basic nicely does the indenting for you. And it also tells you if you're missing an end if, and it does all of those good things. Okay. So now when I make the compound, I'm just adding in the else that says does not meet criteria. Questions. Then this one I did a convert to upper. We'll concert the contents.
We'll try convert. Sometimes I don't read what I write. Instead of concept, it should be convert. Okay? Convert. That's only one letter different.
And that converts to uppercase. So if I have a field and I want to check for uppercase, what I've done there is say, take whatever was entered in that field, convert it to uppercase, and then I can compare to CI in uppercase. So if they entered lowercase CI, it's going to convert it to uppercase and get a yes. If I don't use the two upper, lowercase CI is not the same as uppercase CI, so I wouldn't get a match. Okay. So I write this as textfirst.text.toUpper, and it converts it to uppercase. Okay. I use that a lot when I'm having people type in string data, like codes, because you want to catch the fact. It's a lot easier than saying, is it equal to capital CI or equal to lower CI? Okay. So basically, that's a, hopefully, review of if statements and how you can write them in Visual Basic. Just for your own, just so you write one, take a couple of minutes and come up with some other if statement that you can put in this one and put it in with the ifs and the elses and the end ifs
and go ahead and just write one in here. To go ahead and do it.
Just to play around with it, make sure you see how it does the indenting, how you see it, how it does the else's and the ifs. You know, write one of the compound ones. Or not compound, but multiple ones. And, you know, that's why I have first, second, and third. You can put anything into them.
Is anybody going to tell me if they got something written they can play around with? I mean, I just wanted you to write the structure of an if statement
with multiple parts like this and make sure you see how it falls together. But it really is quite helpful. Did you get something working? Okay, then we are going to move on to the next one.
Actually, I'm going to move on to Project Radio Check.
Okay. This one introduces using radio buttons and using checkboxes. Okay, so I'm now introducing radio buttons and checkboxes. So if I run this one and I say, okay, I'm going to go to Ellsbury Street's muffin shop and I'm going to buy blueberry and pumpkin and I'm buying three. Now, I was lazy. For this one in particular, you only get to choose the quantity of each. So you're doing three blueberry and three pumpkin, okay? I could have changed that, obviously, but I didn't. So this is, I'm getting three blueberry and three pumpkin. I would go out of business, but that's all right. Then I say, okay, now calculate. And it comes up and tells me that it is $4.70. Okay. So then I am going to click on, is your order correct? And so I'm going to actually move this out of the way so I can see what I've checked. Is your order correct? I said okay, and it charges me the $4.70. If I said calculate and said cancel, then it clears it out and says your order for $4.70 has been canceled. And I say okay. Okay. Now, obviously, this would need a few bells and whistles. If I were really doing this. Okay, so I'm going to stop that and look at the code. Okay, so I started out and I dimmed work total as double and a message answer as well. So I dimmed those things. And again, you can use the word dim just once and put the things you want to have dimmed separated by commas. So you can dim just once if you want to. So now I am looking at the checkboxes.
and the check boxes tell me what they checked. So I'm saying, okay, if check blue, which is what I call the blueberry one, if check blue is checked, then I am going to take and say work total equals work total plus 80 cents times the corner. So blueberry muffins I'm charging 80 cents for. So you have to multiply 80 by the quantity. And then I end the if, because I need to check each one of them to see which ones are checked. So the next one says, if check pumpkin is checked, if check pumpkin dot checked equals true, then I'm taking the quantity, multiplying it by 85 cents and adding it to the total. Okay? So I had three checked. So 8/16/24, that was $2.40, and this is $2.55, right? Yeah, I think. So right now, work total is going to be $4.95. Okay, so work total is now $4.95, if I did my math correctly. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then chocolate wasn't checked. So chocolate wasn't checked, so I just go right past that and do nothing. Grain wasn't checked, so I go right past that and do nothing. Okay. So now I'm going to go and look and see what location I'm at. And I had checked Ellsbury Street. So I'm saying if Main is checked, then I'm going to take the total and multiply by 1.05 because I'm going to charge them more. If Ellsbury was checked, I'm going to take the total and multiply it by 0.95, they get a discount. If Presidents was checked, nothing happens. Okay, so they have to pay what they were originally going to pay. So I had checked Ellsbury, so I'm going to multiply that by 95% to get the answer. Okay, because I'm multiplying it by 0.95, so I'm multiplying total by 0.95 to get the answer. Okay? Somebody with a calculator want to tell me what that is? So then I have the amount, okay? So if I multiply it by 0.95, anybody got me an answer?
What is it?
Okay, so 4.70,
because I'm dealing with money.
Okay, and that, in fact, is what I came up with when we were doing this before, right? Because I went and checked Ellsbury Street. Whoops, I have to close the clear. Check Ellsbury Street, check blueberry and pumpkin, put a 3 in there, calculate, and it came up with $4.70. So that was the right answer. Okay, so that's how it came up with the $4.70. Now it is doing the message box. Okay, so after I have calculated that and I say, okay, convert work total to currency. So I converted it over to currency and there is the currency. And now I'm saying, okay, my answer is going to be equal to, and I want to go into message box, and message box has a bunch of different things that I can put on it. Okay, so first of all, message box show, and I'm just making that equal to my message, actually, message answer. Sorry, can't read. So, I put in first the is your total correct?
And you can see where if your total correct goes, it goes right in the middle of the box. Then I put a comma, and the next thing is order to confirm, and that goes up as the title on the top. Okay?
Then I put another comma, and I've got message box buttons. I want OK and cancel. And then I said the message box icon, I want the question mark.
So I got the question mark icon, I've got the OK cancel buttons, and I've got the two things that I've written out. So message box show can be made far more sophisticated, okay, than just showing something. I can put in the words that I want to see in the message box. I can choose the kind of buttons, and I can choose the icon that I want. Okay? So that is my way of setting it up. Now, on the next line, I'm saying, okay, if message answer equals, and I have Windows Phone dialog result canceled, then I clear out the total. Otherwise, I say, it's been canceled, not otherwise. So I have if they put that out.
If message box answer is, and this is, you have to copy it, windows.forms.dialogresult.cancel. So if they canceled, then I clear the total and I put up the message box show to say your order for and has been canceled. So if I want to cancel it, I hit the cancel button. And it says, your order for,
there it is, concatenate with work total, converted to currency, there it is, concatenated with control line feed. And what does control line feed do? It moves you down to the next line. Concatenated with has been canceled.
So that message box goes out. So I'm putting up the original message box, and message box has a, when I have two things like this, or like I had on the other one,
it has the ability to tell which one you did.
So I said basically put what button they hit in message answer.
So message answer is going to have what button you hit, the OK or the cancel. And then I checked. If the Windows Forms dialog result are canceled, so if they hit cancel, then I clear out the text box that has the total in it, and I put up a message box saying your order has been canceled. Do you see how that worked? Lots of feedback. Do you see how that worked? Somebody nod their head or say yes or something like that?
I'm pretty caught up with a lot of this. I remember a lot of it from my high school courses.
Okay.
I think a raise is going to be where I start getting confused, but for
okay.
Now I'm pretty caught up.
That's good. Okay. But you see how that worked? Again, because I had multiple buttons, I assigned the results of the message box to message answer, and it keeps track of which button was hit. Okay? And I need to know that. If I have an OK and a cancel,
I probably want to act differently depending on which button they hit. So I am going to store what button they hit in a place that they call Windows Forms Dialog Result. Okay, or I'm comparing it. I'm storing it in Message Answer. So I'm storing in Message Answer what they clicked. And then I'm saying, okay, if Message Answer is equal to a cancel, whatever code they have for a cancel, then clear it out and put up a different message box. And notice on this one, I didn't tell it what buttons to put up because the OK button is the default. So the OK button just goes up as the default. Okay. So now let's get out of this for a minute and go and look at the setup of the form. So here is the blueberry, and I called it Check Blueberry. Okay, and I put the text on it that says just blueberry. Okay. So I've set up a checkbox. And what I do is I go over to my toolbox and I find radio buttons and I find checkbox. So there's checkbox. So I drag checkbox over. Okay, so if I drag checkbox over and put it someplace right there, that's the way it goes up as checkbox one. Okay, so there it is, and then I go, and there's checkbox one, and I change its name, just like I change the name on everything else, and I called it Check Blue. So checkbox one, this one, I changed, it's a checkbox, and I changed it, come on, you can do this, to Check Blue. And then the next one I made Check Pumpkin, and the next one I made Check Chocolate or whatever. But I changed the names and put them there. I also group them inside this group, which is Group Muffin. So I group them inside the muffin. And then I came over here, and I've got these inside Group Store. And each one of those is, I called it Rad Main. And that's a radio button. And so I can drag a radio button over here. And there's the Check Radio button. And remember, radio button, I can only check one in the group. And I group them together so I can only check one in that group. So I made the group, then I put the three buttons in it. They're a group. Only one of those can be checked. Okay? And then I made another group and I put in the types of muffins. Those have check boxes, so multiples can be checked. And if I wasn't feeling lazy, I would have put quantity over here and had a text box for quantity of each one next to the type. And then I would have known what the quantity for blueberry was, what the quantity for pumpkin was, and so forth. Okay. So there are the radio buttons and the check boxes, and I put them inside a group. So I made the group box first, and then I placed those inside the group. So now when I run this, if I have Main Street and then Presidents, then Ellsbury, I can only have one. But notice the one down the bottom, I can click on that because it's not a part of the group. So that radio button, it thinks stands for something else because it's not part of the group. So that radio button that I just randomly put on the form can be clicked along with one of the stores because it's not part of the group. If I had put that radio button in the group, then I couldn't click on it. Questions? Does that make sense? Is everybody comfortable with it? Okay. And I think those are the main things that I did. I'm going to take the checkbox off and the radio button off. And clear, when I hit the clear, notice how that works. I want to turn the checks off. And I could have your statements in here and say, if it's checked, then turn it off. But it's just easier to turn them all off. Okay? So when I clear radio main checked false. Check pumpkin checked false. So I clear them all by setting them to false, meaning that they're not checked. Okay, so they've all been set to false, indicating that they're not checked, and the quantity and total have also been cleared out. Okay. Okay. Other decisions, I'm not sure we'll make it through, but I'm going to look at it. My first if statement here is if is numeric. So I'm checking to see if a field is numeric. And that's just a real easy way to do it. If is numeric. And that's a function that Microsoft provides. And I can test any field and see if it contains a number. Okay. Now what I have is I have a I'm trying to remember where it is. I think this is the right one. Button grade. I think that's it. So if I put in here 12 and click for grade, yes, it comes back with high school. If I put in a 2, it comes back for elementary school. And if I put in a K, it comes back with kindergarten. And notice I used the 2 lower there. So whatever they entered, I decided I wanted to compare to a lowercase k. So I converted whatever they entered to a lowercase k. And notice I only go to this else if it's not numeric. So if it's not numeric, I go down to that else. And then I can ask if it's a K. And if it's a K, then it's kindergarten. Anything else that's not numeric is invalid. Okay? So I said, up in the if statement, I used an else if, okay, which is another form, and it looked for you in the PHP class, we saw that this morning, the else if, and here it is again. So I'm saying, if grade is greater than 12, then look out the word college. Else if it's greater than 8, then put out high school. Because I've already got rid of anything greater than 12. So greater than 8 is going to catch 9, 10, 11, and 12. Else, if it's greater than 6, put out middle school. Else, put out elementary school. Okay? And then I said, if it is K, put out kindergarten, otherwise put out invalid entry. What I didn't check for is 0. And maybe I should have, because 0 is part of elementary school. So I guess we'll pretend 0 is another word for kindergarten. Okay? But I could have done a check and said, if it's 0, throw it out. Write invalid entry. Okay. So that's an if using the else if. And the big thing about the else if is that essentially it's a case structure. That's what it's called. And it's perfect for things like this. When you want to check a particular field for an option and find out. So if you want to test a grade, you know, if the grade is higher than 90, give them an A. If it's higher than 80, give them a B. If it's higher than, that's a perfect thing for this. And the nice thing is with the else if, you have one else, so that's what I do if I don't get any results up above, and then there's one end if. So everything doesn't have an else, it just makes a much more concise structure. And again, it works best for these kinds of things. It wouldn't work well for if it's this and this and this or this or this. It's not going to work for that. Then you use regular ifs. But if you're looking at a particular field and saying what's in that field, the case structure is really a good one. Okay. So that is the case structure. So if I put a 11 in there, I'm going to get high school. Okay. And now, okay. This one down below is another way of doing that. Yes, I know. That battery's run out, but the other one's still going, so we're all right. So again, if I put in grade 11, click for grade, it gave me high school. Use case also gave me high school. So case is another way of doing that. In this case, I said, if is numeric, okay, then I know I've got a numeric, and then I said, okay, now convert it to an integer, just in case somebody typed in a decimal. And then I said, select case, work case grade. So that means I want to look at this work case grade that I defined here. And I said, okay, case is greater than 12, which means check worst case grade for greater than 12. And if it is, put out college. Otherwise, if it's greater than 8, put out high school. If it is either 7 or 8, put out middle school. If it's 1 to 6, put out elementary school. And case else, meaning anything else I have need to check. So this one will not allow me to have the 0. So if I put the 0 in, up here. Okay, that tells me elementary school. This tells me need to check. Because I didn't include it. If I wanted to include it, then I should have said K0 to 6. But I didn't say that, so it goes out. And the else, again, if it's not numeric, is checking for kindergarten and putting out either the word kindergarten or invalid entry. And I did that with just a regular if. So if it was numeric, I went in and used the case structure. If it was not, I went and used this. And the case structure and the else if are really very similar. They're used for the same kinds of things, checking a field for content. So I think of the else if as a case structure as well.
So the case is better for numbers, though? Checks for numbers?
You can check for letters, too. I can check for letters as well. If I had set it up as a check for ABC, I could do that.
So it's basically just a different way?
Just a different way. I think every language has a case structure of some kind, an else if of some kind, and then the vanilla if statement that is more applicable to everything. And these are much more specific to doing different things. Okay, so that's just the alternative of that. And the other ones, I'm going to leave since we have about a minute to go. I'm going to leave and we will pick those up on Tuesday. Okay. This is really not enough time. Okay, I'm done.